Would you pray with me? Lord, take my lips this day and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God created you. Do you ever just stop and think about that? Like the God who created the universe, the God who created the Milky Way galaxy and the sun and the stars and the moon and the planets, and God that created the earth and everything on it, that God created you? That God created you just as you are. God created you with love and purpose. God created you with intention and possibility. God created you. Now, if we were a responsive church at this point, you would say amen. I know that we're not a responsive church. Although someday my dream is that somebody's just going to yell out an amen. But I know we're not a responsive church, but let's just try this. I say God created you, amen, and then you respond. God created you, amen?
Amen.
There we go, yes. You can do that anytime, really. But see, it gets even better. It gets even better. Jesus shares this promise that God is active in what God created, right? God didn't just like create you and all that there is and then like sits out from afar and he's like sipping his coffee and watching it all. You know, that's not who God is. Jesus promises that God is active in what God created, right? And even more, Jesus says, God is not just active, but God is in you. God dwells within you, within each one of us. This is what Jesus taught to his followers, as translated by Eugene Peterson in the Message. He said, "Believe me, I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see these works. The person who trusts me will not only do what I do and what I'm doing, but even greater things. Because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do. If you love me, show it by doing what I've told you." And then Jesus says this. He says, "I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of truth. This friend is the Holy Spirit. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he has been staying with you and will even be in you." Jesus says the Holy Spirit will be in you. And by that Holy Spirit, you'll be able to do even greater works. So I don't know about you, but I hear all of this that Jesus said, and I think, yeah, okay, I sort of get that the Holy Spirit dwells in me. I kind of understand that. And I hear Jesus saying that I'm going to do greater works, but there are a lot of days in my life, I don't know about you, when I think I'm a long way from those greater works that Jesus is talking about. Anybody feel that way? Some days you just, I'm a long way from those greater works that Jesus is talking about. Or sometimes in my life, I think I know he calls to greater works, but is that really me? Am I sure that's really me? Yet this is what Jesus says about us. This is what Jesus says to his followers, those who take up the cross and follow him. He says, you're going to do even greater works. And those works Right? We've seen them across time in the church as the church has testified and witnessed to love in powerful ways. We've seen those over time. And we get glimpses in our own life when we love as Jesus loves, and we get to see the fruit of that love. We get glimpses of it. Because those greater works, they happen when we are most in tune or perfectly in tune with the Holy Spirit, with God in us. So over the next couple weeks, we're going to be asking a question. This question: how am I cultivating a deep and profound relationship with the Holy Spirit living inside me? How do we move from where we may be on any given day to where God wants us to be? It's another way to think about that question. How do we close the gap between kind of who we are now and who we know that God wants us to be? How do we live into the greater works that God calls us to? And over the next several weeks, to answer this question or to think about and reflect on this question, we're going to look at 5 spiritual practices. 5 ways that the people of God across the centuries have lived into the greater works that God called them to, have grown in relationship with God. And those 5, hence 5 for faith, those 5 practices that we're going to look at are worship, grow — you can think about that as study — the 3rd one will be serve, the 4th one will be give, and then the 5th one will be to witness or to share our faith. And we're going to look at these practices, and I hope not just talk about them, but practice them together. And we're going to see how throughout the Old and New Testaments there are teaching about how to live into a closer relationship with God. So we're going to start today with worship. I just couldn't pass up this picture. Right, we're going to start today by talking about worship. And you might be saying today, like, you might be sitting there thinking, well, I know what worship is, right? It's what I'm doing right now. And you're right. This is the community gathered together for worship. But worship as a spiritual practice can be so much more than what we do on Sunday mornings. See, worship isn't a program. Worship is a posture. Another way to say that would be, worship isn't just a set of things we do. Worship isn't just something we do on a Sunday morning. Worship is a way of being. Worship is a way of living our lives. Evelyn Underhill was an Anglo-Catholic mystic and spiritual writer. She wrote in the early 1900s, she wrote a book on worship in the 1930s that continues to kind of inform study of worship today. And this is how she defined worship. She said, "Worship, in all its grades and kinds, is the response of the creature to the eternal. Nor need we limit this definition to the human sphere. There is a sense in which we may think of the whole life of the universe, seen and unseen, conscious and unconscious, as an act of worship, glorifying its origin, sustainer, and end." What are we as humankind created for? One way to answer that question is, we are created to worship the God who made us and made all that is. And think about what worship looks like. I need some help today. Can I invite our FaithWorks kids forward? And I know our FaithWorks singers are here, but any FaithWorks kids, if you want to come up and help me today, I'm going to need some help, because the next part of our sermon today is participatory, and sometimes it takes them a while to kind of participate. So I'm going to have you all just line up and face them. So you're going to line up here behind me and face that direction. Okay? Yep. You spread out just all the way across. Yep. All right. So there are 3 Greek words. Any of you speak Greek? Oh, man, this isn't going to be helpful at all then. No. There are 3 Greek words in the New Testament that are used when the New Testament talks about worship. And you don't need to worry about knowing the Greek, but here's the really cool thing. The three Greek words all describe body posture as we think about worship. So I'm going to use you all to help, because we're going to think about what is worship, what are ways that we can worship every day, and we're going to use our bodies to remind us about ways that we worship God. So the first Greek word is proskuneo, and again, you don't need to worry about knowing the Greek words. But proskuneo, it means to bow down or to prostrate oneself, to essentially lie down before one who is greater. So if you think about, like how many of you like stories of like medieval kings, and like anybody like king stories? Nope, nobody here. All right, anybody out there like story about kings? Right, so in the stories you'd see like a knight would bow down before the king. Well, we come before God who's awesome and majestic and everything, and we bow down before him. Some of you probably do this in prayer. So I'm going to have you help me. We're going to do this, right? So can you get down on your knees? Now you know why I didn't invite all of them up. Well, that wasn't very nice, was it? So we're going to get down on our knees and fold our hands and bow. And we're going to invite the congregation to do this as well. We're going to invite you. You don't have to get down on your knees. But just put your hands together and bow your head. And when we get down on our knees, or when we pray and we bow our heads, right, we put ourselves in this place of recognizing the majesty of God. How amazing it is that God created us and created all that is. We sort of humble ourselves before God. Now I invite you to stand back up. Right, and the second Greek word is sibomai, and it means deep reverence and awe. So this word has the idea, like, if you encounter something that's just amazing, right? It's so amazing. Like, let's say you see a lightning strike, what would you do if you saw a lightning strike? Like, you kind of back away, right? And can you put your hands up? Put your hands up, and show me your like surprised face, or your face that's like, wow, that's amazing. Can you show me that face? Okay, now we're going to invite them to do the same. So put your hands up, right? Put your hands up and your surprised and awesome face. This is sibomai. This is the next word that we see in the Old Testament for worship. And it's that sense, right? As we see a sunrise, or we see an amazing thing happen, or we're just so overjoyed that we just lift our hands up and we take a step back and we wonder at the with amazement and awe at what is happening. Right? Worship is pausing in those moments of wonder, not just to be happy ourselves, but to recognize that this moment is a gift from God, that God has done this in our lives and done this for us. All right, so the third Greek word for worship is latreo, and it's rendering a service to one who is greater. Now, for this one, I'm going to invite you, let's just hold our hands out in front of us. Everyone going to do that with us? You just hold our hands out in front of us. And, right, this is a symbol of giving what we have to offer. It's recognizing that every gift that we've been given comes from God, right? And if our hands are out, right, we can collect those gifts that God has given to us. But if our hands are out, we're also ready to share those gifts with others, right? Our act of worship is saying, look, here I am, God, ready to receive the gifts that you have for me and ready to share those and be a part of your work in the world. Right? Three ways that we worship, all that call to mind God's presence in our lives. So before you sit down, and I want to thank you for helping me out today. Did you see they all participated? And they wouldn't have done that unless y'all were up here, I'm sure of it. So, but I have one more question for you as we think about worship today. When you're given a gift that you're really excited about, right, and you run off because you're going to go play with that gift, or you're ready to go and play with it or explore it or use it or whatever it is, what do your parents often remind you to do? What do they remind you to say? Thank you. Yeah, right? They remind you to say thank you. Or please and thank you, absolutely, right? They remind you to say please and thank you. They remind you to say thank you before you go and play with your gift. Thank you, Right? That is the foundation of worship. Let me invite you all to go and take your seats. Let's give them a hand and say thank you to them for helping me out today. Thank you, God, for everything. That's the foundation of worship. It's recognizing that everything we have comes from God. And here's the thing. God doesn't need, I think sometimes we think, well, we're going to gather together so that God will show up. But God doesn't need us to gather together for God to show up. God is already here. We don't need to say a prayer for God to show up. God is already present in you through the Holy Spirit in your life. God is always and everywhere present. Our act of worship acknowledges that presence, tunes us into that presence. And sometimes I think, well, or people will even say, well, God needs you to come to worship, or God needs our worship. God doesn't need our worship. Need isn't the right word. The Bible says God delights in our worship. God delights in our worship. It's like a parent, as a parent, right? When your kid is just overflowing with joy because of a gift or because you've shared an experience of love with them, and they just can't help but sort of overflow with joy and love. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience with a little kid when they get something and they're like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you've had that experience, that God delights. When we come before God and are like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Every time we do that, every time we come before God and say, here I am and I want to serve, every time that we bow down and recognize God's presence, we open our lives to God's direction and to a fuller experience of God's love. And we recognize that God is present with us, crying with us, right next to us in the difficult times, within us in the difficult times. That God is right there to guide and give us direction in the moments of challenge. That God is delighting with us in the moments of amazing joy. Worship means taking a posture. Worship means taking a posture. And in each and every moment that recognizes the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And we do that in two ways, right? We do it together as we gather on Sundays in worship. Adam Hamilton at Church of the Resurrection, Kansas City, I love his image for this. He says, essentially, we're like cell phones, and probably in lots of ways, this analogy could go a long way, but in the fact that we have a charge in our lives, and that charge, it lasts about 7 days. If you think of God's resting in creation, our charge lasts about 7 days, and on the seventh day, we've got to recharge, and so we gather together because we know that when the body of Christ comes together, the Holy Spirit charges our batteries for the week ahead, so we come to be recharged. But we lose something if we think only about worship as a Sunday activity and miss that the Psalms in particular also talk about, again and again, about worship as an individual act. That every time we pause to pray and recognize God's presence, we open our souls. We get in touch a little bit more. We cultivate a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit that lives within us. So we're going to close today by reading together Psalm 100. And as we read Psalm 100, I just want you to think about the postures of worship and the foundation of worship and see how this psalm, which is a communal psalm, it was meant to be shared in the community, can be for us a definition, not just in the community, but each and every day of our lives. Would you read these words on the screen with me? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Right? We say together, we belong to God. He made us, and as a shepherd, he wants to guide us. He just asked that we pause to hear his voice, our act of worship. Now let's continue. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So here is our first invitation of this time of Lent here at Clay Church. And our first invitation is to take the spiritual practice of worship and put it to practice in your life in this week ahead. It's our first five for faith. I want to invite you to take a minute or two, five times a day, every day this week, to spend in worship and prayer with God. Let me invite you to put your hand out like this. Just put your hand up, right? If you need a reminder, use your hand as a reminder to pray, and you can think five times. I'm going to pray when I get out of bed in the morning, before I even get out of bed. I'm going to pray at breakfast. I'm going to pray at lunch. I'm going to pray at dinner, and I am going to pray before I go to bed five times each day. If the hand thing is not going to be a great reminder for you, pull out your cell phone right now and put five alarms in your phone. Right? Put one in the morning, one late morning, one around lunchtime, one in the afternoon, and one in the evening, and pause. And if you put the alarms in your phone, this is a fun idea. When you put the alarm in your phone and it goes off and you're at lunch with somebody and they're like, "Oh, what's that?" Say, "It's my reminder to worship God." And when they ask you why, you're pausing in the middle of the meeting with them to say a prayer. You can say to them, because God has changed my life, and I just want to say thank you and let God direct me to be a more loving person. So we can witness through that. And if you're in the middle of a meeting and it just isn't appropriate to interrupt the meeting, then just bow your head for 10 seconds. You only need five words. You only need five words to worship God. Thank you, God, for everything. Thank you, God, for everything. Each week, you're going to get one of these cards. Hopefully, you got one as you walked in today. If you did not get one as you walked in today, be sure you grab one as you go out today. But I want you to pull out this card right now. This card has an opportunity each of the 5 days just to track your progress, to say, hey, I'm committed to this, and I'm going to mark off it each time I pray, five times every day. And here's the really exciting part. I want you to pull out a pencil out of the pew in front of you and grab a pen. You mark three of these on Sunday. Go ahead. Mark three of them. Because we had a pastoral prayer earlier that invited the congregation in to pray. We had an invocation earlier that was an act of worship. And in just a moment, we're going to close with these five words together. And you will have done three individual acts of worship today. So mark your first three. All right, some of you think I'm teasing. Come on, pull it out. Mark these first three. And take the card with you. And fill it out. And see what God can do. And here's the really cool part. If you fill out this entire card, there's a prize. Fill all of these out, and there's a prize. You will have a deeper and more profound relationship with the Holy Spirit living inside you. Let's join together one more time in this act of worship. Let me invite you to put your hands out in front of you and just say these five words, this act of worship. Would you speak these words with me? Thank you, God, for everything. Amen.